Rozier is low key their new Kyrie.
Yeah, I saw
that. this kid is the real deal.
Jason Tatum.
Apparently, Rozier stole all of Kyrie's shoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think that I'm wondering if this is a like Mike situation where like all of Kyrie's flat earth powers were transferred into Rozier.
Into Rozier.
So it's April 16th, 2018. Day 3 of the 2018 NBA playoffs. This is High Standards.
I'm a fucking standards.
My name is Michael.
I am Andreezy.
We're just guys trying to talk about basketball while being mildly baked.
Yeah. So throughout the course of this segment, I guess we'll be periodically losing our devil's lettuce in a series of small fires. And I guess you lucky listeners will be able to chart our progression of discussion through intoxication. So
yeah.
So yeah.
Our sentences will noticeably get worse.
So we're located in Miami. Obviously, we are Miami Heat fans, so we have some hometown bias, but we try to, remain kind of impartial throughout these analytics or just breakdowns of the series. And we are going to cover a variety of things, including playoffs, but also regular season. Regular season just ended a week ago, so yep. We're going to go over some of our thoughts on the regular season. So let's just start there.
Exactly.
Throughout the regular season itself, it was a good regular season. There was a lot of exciting games. LeBron having arguably his best season at 15 years.
MVP? Question mark.
He's my MVP, to be honest. James Harden is pretty amazing in everything he does, but he's primarily a scorer, and I think LeBron is just an all-around more valuable player. Wow, that's almost like the name of the award. But
actually makes his team go round.
Yeah, you know, like you take LeBron off the Cavs, and they're probably like a 20 or 30 win team.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You take James Harden off the Rockets. But that's not the same. That's not exactly a great metric of determining who's deserving of MVP.
Because that could change a team
exactly
all around.
Yeah, or like the Rockets are built around James Harden, so they have all these shooters and all these great defenders that he can hide on defense, and when he needs to, he can.
Defense.
Well, he does.
He does,
and he can facilitate and just. They just rain threes. They just, like, rain threes on your head.
He steps back and shoots a three, and he makes it.
Exactly.
But although the Cavs came in with high expectations, you know, with Isaiah Thomas being in.
That was such a weird start to the season.
That was so bad.
I remember the offseason that the news of them signing Isaiah, and I was like, yikes, that's your replacement for Kyrie.
Which really isn't a replacement because there is no replacement. But Kyrie did really well in the Celtics.
I'm proud. Fuck Boston. I hate the Celtics, but they are a good team. I'm a Kyrie fan, even if he is a dumbass.
Yeah,
he's like fake intelligent.
Fake intelligent. The world is flat.
The world is flat. And just listening to his interviews, sometimes you're like, what is this dude on, man?
But, yeah.
All right, that's like
he's not playing in the playoffs. Sadly,
yeah.
We
were robbed of a lot of great players.
Yeah. Do you want to begin the first game of the Boston Celtics?
Hayward 6 minutes in, completely with one of the most gruesome injuries I've seen live.
Yeah.
And they somehow managed to regroup from that, bounce back. Knock off something like 16 or 19 straight, some crazy number like that.
And they still ended second seed.
And they ended second seed.
Yeah, in the East.
They kind of tapered off near the end of the season, but all in all, I would say this is a successful year for Boston, especially considering that this was not their year. As the minute Hayward went down, this wasn't Boston's year. So they're looking to the future. They still have trade assets. They still have picks. Obviously, Hayward's coming back. He's starting to do some sprints. Hopefully, Kyrie will be more healthy from his knee injury.
Yeah.
Because he was playing through that injury this season, and he was still that great. So Boston's looking towards the future. Their future's bright. Jason Tatum's a freaking star. And we saw that in his game one performance.
His debut was fantastic with 19 points, 10 rebounds.
Yeah, almost a 2010 game. He's going to be like a constant, proficient 25-point scorer in for the next like 8 to 10 years. That's my my jump to conclusion.
Yeah. And a sure of an asset with all these injuries, you know, in the Celtics. But enough about the Celtics.
Yeah.
Talk too much about the Celtics. Let's talk about another something that a team that we held up there or that we had high expectations for, Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
With Carmelo, Paul George.
Yeah, I think the Westbrook Paul George combo is a wonderful duo. He's about as good as a replacement for Kevin Durant as you can get, but when they added Carmelo, I was very about that signing. I thought, especially after the season with all the drama he just had on the Knicks, I didn't see it happening. And honestly, I think if Melo went to the Rockets like he first was saying to reporters that he wanted to do, the Rockets would not be as good as they are now.
I just think Carmelo, he didn't help the Knicks too much. And he's not... Well, what it seems, he is not helping Oklahoma City. He's not making his threes like he used to.
No, definitely not.
Paul George has definitely taken that role.
To be fair to Melo, he has taken a step back from, you know, since 2003 or something, he's been the primary option on his teams. He led the league in scoring as a rookie in Denver, and then he came to New York, and they made the playoffs once, I think in like 2012 or something.
Yeah.
He scored 50 in a game, but then...
That was actually the Heat's first, the last loss LeBron had before his streak.
Yeah.
So they still lost.
They still lost. But
Steve Adams has been really well.
Yeah, Steven Adams.
You know, I think
he is the third star. It's not Westbrook, Melo, and George. It's Westbrook, George, and
Adams. Honestly, as a center, I would definitely want a star.
Steven Adams. I love that.
Yeah,
dude.
As my center,
the Dothraki big man.
Looks like you, but white.
No, I wish I was that handsome and charming. No. Have you seen his post-game interviews?
No, I haven't.
They're amazing.
I think I've seen that he's funny. He's a funny guy.
He's just funny without trying to be funny, just because he's so big and nice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fuck with him. He's a strong dude. to circle back to what I was saying about Melo, so he has always been that number one option on his teams, but... He's taken the step back on OKC to not jab step 20 times and then shoot up a contested mid-range jumper. He's kind of like become a spot up shooter and like, okay, I'm only gonna numbers are still a little high. Like he's doing too many attempts, and sometimes it's like he has no groove. I feel like you're trying to do too much, but he has become like kind of that spot up 3-point shooter that they wanted him to be. It's just he's not making those threes at a consistent rate.
And definitely on defense too, just having him in the paint.
Yeah, he's very underrated on defense. Yeah. A lot of people sleep on Melo on defense.
Exactly.
Hypotheticals I wanted to see throughout the season. I wanted to see so many more trades go down. This offseason was kind of ridiculous. I think we were a little bit spoiled by the offseason and all the big names that were moving around. And I think I just kind of expected that to carry over into the trade deadline.
I mean, we saw Blake Griffin. Happening.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah.
I like Blake Griffin, but he didn't make the Pistons better, and the Clippers got better when they sent him away.
Yes. I'm a huge
Clippers almost made the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was just...
That would have been kind of cool.
I'm kind of over it. But... It's just the West is just, it's a bloodbath. It's way too loaded. Too many stars, too many great, like, great historic teams, especially in this day and age of basketball where the three reign supreme.
Yep. And you can even tell in the first games of the playoff that the West is so much better than the East.
I mean, I wouldn't say so much
not
better.
It's so just, much better, it's even the just points the, per game, the
it's just the top of the top.
Yeah, definitely.
The top of the top being the Rockets and the Warriors. But
you know,
let's
cool.
get into that, maybe.
Yeah. Well, Rockets and Warriors.
Yeah. Their season series. I mean, not season series. Their playoff matchups. James Harden is going to win it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we can go into that. How much has he impacted the Rockets, you know, the best team in the league right now? You know, we're looking at them as potential finals. You know,
potential finals winners.
Winners, exactly.
The Western Conference Finals is going to be very fun because you would assume it would be Rockets Warriors, and hopefully Curry will be back and at least 80% of his former self by then, because we saw he came back a little bit too fast last year for the playoffs, and he wasn't the same the year before last.
And not that KD and. Not that they can't do it, you know, KD, yeah. Klay Thompson.
It's just because they're all great.
They're just
players.
A different team.
They're just a different team
without him.
Yeah,
definitely agree with that.
It's like it's kind of how the Rockets are built around Harden.
Yeah,
the Warriors are built around Curry, and when Curry's not on the floor, they look like they're a different team trying to imitate the Warriors.
Imitate the Warriors.
Yeah. I mean, they still do it to a fine degree. It's just you could tell like things don't flow as well, and people aren't cutting as clean, and people aren't like that very real like gravity.
It's just plays not happening as fluent as how Steph would do it.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
With his court vision and assist game, it's a complete different game. But other than the regular season, any other points? I think we
no, not really, not for now at least.
Yeah,
let's get into the nitty gritty.
2018 playoffs. So we did already witness all the first games for the East and the West. We can go over.
Where? Yeah. I guess it was partially because we wanted to do it. We wanted to record this yesterday, but we felt it was a little rushed, so we decided to move it to Monday, one day later, and that way we kind of have an accurate game one reaction of all the games that went down instead of only half of the instead of half of the first round games. So I guess we could just go like in order of how they appeared.
Okay.
Toronto, Washington was first.
I have that right now. Okay.
I didn't get to see that much of this game. I was working.
Toronto versus Washington. I wasn't able. I saw the highlights. Toronto did win.
Yeah.
What is your prediction? What do you think this series?
Toronto sweeps. Toronto in four.
Yeah. I say Toronto in five.
Five? Yeah.
I don't think John Wall and Bradley Beal will go down. I mean, you know, John Wall, he was 6-for-20 in that game.
Yeah.
30%.
The Wizards have gone on such a downward spiral that they do not look like even remotely as good as they did before the All-Star break. Some of that coincides obviously with John Wall going down with a pretty nasty injury that kept him out for I don't know how many games. I think it was like something like 2 months or something.
Yeah.
But since he's been back, he hasn't been 100%. He hasn't been finishing like he used to. He hasn't been as quick, as explosive. He's not dunking like he used to. But to be fair, I'm not a Washington fan, so this may be a very inaccurate description. Someone tell me if I'm wrong, you know?
No, right now.
At me, bro. But seriously, fuck Washington.
I like John Wall. I have been a fan of John Wall since he was a rookie, basically, and he has not. What's the word? He's showed up. He
Before,
has definitely, yeah.
And except Game Sevens. He never shows up Game Sevens.
Okay, there's my sister in there, by the way. She just so she doesn't.
What's up?
But yeah, John Wall thinks he's great, excellent, just coming off the injury, so he's a little bit off his game. Bradley Beal made plenty of threes though to make up for that. It was a high scoring game.
I don't like Bradley Beal. He's a great player, but I don't.
His attitude is weird.
And he's so like fake tough that like he has this mean mug face, but then like I saw him flop countless times in the Wizards series last year.
Ben Simmons had us.
The Wizards Celtics series. So Oubre is like this supreme wearing like pretty boy that looks like if you charted all the like the most players that resembled fuckboys in the league, Oubre would be pretty high on that list, along with Kyle Kuzma. But
there is like a fashion world.
No, yeah, basketball of course. I'm not about that life.
No, definitely. How about Ibaka? Ibaka
played
has
great.
Been like, you know, an impact for the Wizards.
No, definitely. For the Raptors.
What?
You said for the Wizards.
Oh, my bad. But he's definitely good on the pick and roll. I saw a couple plays of him, you know, attacking the basket. And that I think that helps Toronto out, as well as, you know, DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Because he's absolutely ridiculous.
But DeRozan didn't have too like explosive of a game. What'd he end up with?
He ended up with 23 points.
No. Wait. That's Ibaka.
Yeah.
DeRozan had
17. He was.
They don't show
0.35%.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where are his attempts? Free throws made.
No.
It just shows 2-pointers and 3-pointers. Yeah, no. Or it's right there at the front. Field goal attempts 17. Field goal made 6.
6 of 17.
Yeah. He was kind of quiet. The Raptors bench, as always, was the reason they were in this. It's gotten to the point where I low-key think the bench is more deserving of the play time than the starters at points. But
this is what pretty much brought them to the first seed.
They have the best bench in the league.
Yeah,
and it was like a few years ago when I was like just so like. So in awe of like the Warriors' perceived invincibility, because they were so good at everything. They're so good at defense, so good at threes, and then their bench was so deep on top of that. And it's like that's how I feel about the Raptors' bench this year. They're really good at what they do. OG Anunoby is such a good like player out of nowhere. Siakam is. Like, Siakam looks like he's a video game character, the way he moves sometimes. Even Pirtle's a really good player. So,
what did he end up with in Siakam?
They're not... You never see their impact in the box scores. They're one of those... They're some of those players that... It's the team dynamic and the team play and the way they help their teammates be better. That's where their value lies. But who knows? I mean, they're all really young.
Yeah.
There's like three rookies on that bench or something like that. I'm not positive. So the bench is amazing. Washington had a bunch of boneheaded plays that cost them this game.
Yeah.
Like the weird Michael Scott flagrant foul on I think Lowry. There's something up like...
Oh, yeah.
They were up like 5
that.
Or something.
I saw that. It was still a close game, though.
Yeah. Ibaka was great.
They're up in the third. Washington was up
exactly.
in the third.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Washington has the potential to take
these
games.
Yeah, so I say they take
it's
a
just,
game.
I feel like Washington has no identity. They have no clear leadership. And they have no amazing coaching. And the Raptors have all of that. So that's why I think the Raptors will... sweep this series. They actually broke their 17-year long streak of losing game ones.
Yeah,
I think it was something
exactly.
like 0-9 in
since
game
0-1.
Ones.
Since 0-1.
It was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe this year is a year for all these streaks being broken.
Yeah, a bunch of other streaks have been broken. So
yeah, and plus the Raptors are playing with a chip on their shoulders. They got that bad blood from like when Washington swept them a few years back with Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
And Paul Pierce hit that game winner off the glass. Did you call glass? I call game.
I actually hate Paul Pierce, so I can't even say anything about that.
Yeah. But I'm not a Pierce fan either, but that was a great moment. And the Raptors just play with intensity. So yeah, but I will say my final point about the Raptors, they have to be better, especially Lowry and DeRozan, because they have this history of freezing up when the game comes down to it and all the lights and all the cameras are pointing at them, and then Lowry goes 2 of 11 and DeMar DeRozan comes out. But for supposed contenders, people are saying the Raptors will make the finals. People are saying the Raptors will win the finals. The Raptors have to be better, especially Lowry and DeRozan.
Yeah.
So,
definitely I see them in the finals.
Yeah.
Because I think how the East is looking.
It's definitely going to be... maybe that's jumping the gun.
What?
I was going to say Toronto, Philadelphia, Eastern Conference Finals.
You think so? Yeah. Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that.
Well, I mean, that's the next thing to talk about.
No,
because
let's talk about... You want to talk about second seed and seventh?
Oh, 2-7 in a row. Oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah. 2-7.
Okay. So we'll just move to
Boston, Milwaukee.
Which went to OT.
That was a great game. I think that was by far the most exciting game of all. Rozier is low key their new Kyrie.
Yeah. I saw
that. this kid is the real deal.
Jason Tatum.
Apparently Rozier stole all of Kyrie's shoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think that I'm wondering if this is a like Mike situation where like all of Kyrie's flat earth powers were transferred into Rozier.
Into Rozier?
Yeah. And I actually think Milwaukee will win this.
I say it too.
Milwaukee in seven?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I really want to see Giannis, and I just want to see the whole Bucks crew just move on. Like, they have had this... You know, the streak of not moving on in the playoffs for so long, and I really want to see them move on.
Yeah,
I've been a low key Bucks fan for a bit. You know,
yeah.
Underdogs.
I really want a Giannis jersey. Giannis. Speaking of, Giannis had a beastly game. He had 35, 13, and 7. So he fouled out in the final.
Middleton showed up, 31 points.
Yeah, 31. He had eight boards, 6 assists, including the game-tying shot with 0.5 seconds left to send the game into OT. That Rozier step back on Bledsoe.
That was just the...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That was good.
I couldn't believe it. Like,
I really wanted...
The space he got after Bledsoe, like, was tripped and flew... He didn't trip and fly, but
he could have done a swirl and then shot it.
He could have like opened up a board game and like did a game of checkers by himself.
Exactly.
Like just turning the board around and playing the other color. And he would have still got that shot off. It was kinda like when
0.7 seconds. All of that in 0.7 seconds, of course. So but
it was like when Harden broke this guy's ankles and everyone was just staring for a second. It had shades of that. Shades.
Just step back. Oh, my God. But, sadly, Boston is so injured. I've been against Boston, like, all my life because I'm a Heat fan. You know, we've seen them a couple times in the playoffs. I'm not a huge fan of the whole Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Rondo thing. Oh, and Ray Allen. Let me not forget about it. I like Ray Allen. You know.
Well, yeah, because he came to the Heat.
Yeah. But I also liked him before. He was a very humble guy. But, I wanted to see Boston. I wanted to see, like, what they had, man.
Rozier is low-key their new Kyrie.
Yeah, I saw
that. This kid is the real deal.
Jason Tatum.
Apparently, Rozier stole all of Kyrie's shoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think that if, and I'm wondering if this is a like Mike situation where like all of Kyrie's flat earth powers were transferred into Rozier.
Into Rozier. Old, but he's good. Like
he's not even that old. He has an old man game kind of, and he moves a little like slow, but you know, he was like low-key candidate for defensive player of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Before Gobert came back and before Embiid kind of had an explosion.
And they're even putting him sometimes in the center, and he's not doing bad.
No, I mean, that's what he's supposed to do. But
he was playing power forward for game one, and he ended up 24 and 12.
Really?
12 rebounds.
Damn.
Yeah. And that's pretty good.
Rozier is low-key their new Kyrie.
Yeah, I saw
that. this kid is the real deal.
Jason Tatum.
Apparently, Rozier stole all of Kyrie's shoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think that I'm wondering if this is a like Mike situation where like all of Kyrie's flat earth powers were transferred into Rozier.
Into Rozier.
But dude, he was hitting some big shots, not of like aside from that what it seemed was the game winning shot.
Exactly.
When like they had the ball, they inbounded with 10 seconds and then he did the move on Bledsoe and he hit the three.
Mm-hmm.
When overtime came, he hit like I think another one a minute in.
Yeah,
and
he didn't lose that.
He was the handles he had this beautiful reverse layup earlier in the game. So he's a fantastic player, and he's part of the reason they have this huge spark.
Exactly, with the coaching, with the young, with even I just think the coaching and just the team, like Al Horford, Jason Tatum, Rozier, they're playing well together.
Yeah,
they're definitely Tatum, playing well together.
19 and 10.
Yeah,
all the rookies that were appearing in this first round showed up, like Tatum, Mitchell, and Ben Simmons.
Mitchell was a show.
I would say, yeah, yeah.
He definitely.
Simmons is another beast. But
we'll talk about him next.
20 Milwaukee turnovers, 8 in the first quarter,
cost them the game.
Yeah, I think something like 11 or 12 offensive boards in favor of Boston.
Yep.
Bledsoe was trash all night. He finished with 4 of 12 shooting, 9 points, 4 assists and 5 turnovers in foul out.
Wow.
Yeah. Jabari Parker of the Bucks, he has to be better. He's a young player. I think he's only like 22 or 23, but he's the one that just came back earlier this year. He had 2 ACL tears.
Okay.
His defense is horrendous. He's like a very explosive player that has no rhyme or reason to the way he scores his points, but he can get you points every now and then. But against a team like Boston that already struggles to generate their points because their offense is sometimes very like dull.
They don't have a go-to.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have a go-to right now. So you need that extra edge of defensive like players that like can just lock down, and Milwaukee's such a long team, like all their players, like their arms are like ridiculous, like their wingspans are abnormal. So
I think this guy has the longest wingspan in the league.
Giannis, probably.
He's a lengthy dude.
No, yeah, that's why he's the Greek freak.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Milwaukee can bounce back from that. I think.
Yeah.
I
think if they just stop turning it over. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. They took care of the ball a little better in the second quarter, and that's when they started making a comeback. They were actually leading by 3 points going into the half. So I think Milwaukee, if they bounce back from this and they get game 3 and 4 at home, they don't even have to take game 2.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think if they get games 3 and 4, they can do it, because Giannis is going to explode for 40 a game.
For 40 a game?
Yeah.
He made it 35.
Yeah. Philadelphia, Miami.
This is the topic.
Yeah.
We've been definitely looking forward to talking about Philadelphia, Miami. Honestly, behind Boston and Milwaukee, this is the series to watch in the East. You have, let me see. Give me 1 second. There you go. You have Embiid out.
He's going to be out tonight also.
Yeah, he's going to also be out tonight.
Game two is actually in 35 minutes.
35 minutes. Yeah.
We have Ben. From the time of our recording. Oh, that's a helicopter.
Yeah, just 1 second, please.
Okay, we're live. I think maybe you should turn this air off.
Oh,
good. Just turn your car off. And if we get hot, then we'll like open windows or something. It's probably going to be hot, right?
But it's okay. We're
gonna
be good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm a little sick.
Me too.
Just a little bit. Like,
no. Like, it's pretty obvious to me. Remember the DayQuil?
Oh, word.
That lean.
That lean, though. All right. Welcome back.
High standards.
High standards. Which actually is low standards.
Yeah. If you see the grade of weed that we bought.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. The lowest standard.
The lowest standard. But we got a lot of it. So yes. That was the trade off.
Exactly.
Alright, so Philadelphia, Miami, before we were really interrupted by the flying metal birds patrol our societies.
Yeah. It ended up crashing into the house and we had to relocate.
Yeah, we had to relocate. But we're committed to this. So we carry on.
What? So, I was just leaving off as the metal bird was passing by. Embiid being out. We've seen Philadelphia struggle in the regular season with Embiid out.
That was not the case.
That was not the case at all.
Especially at the end, and at the end of the season. At the end of the season, their offensive production actually went up with Embiid out because they're playing at such a faster pace.
Yeah.
And we saw that in game one.
And I saw a lot of Ben Simmons, rookie of the year, he was one rebound away from a triple-double in game one. And he was bringing the ball down the most.
Yeah.
You know, he was creating plays. We had a lot of... We gave a lot of points in the paint away.
Yeah,
definitely. A lot of times, you know, just a cut, clean cut going through one side, having his arms down.
But even though that was the case, the main thing that happened was Philadelphia shot 65% from three.
They were hot.
They were incredibly hot. Like, Redick every contested shot went in. Redick finished with how much?
28.
Yeah. Redick, Bellinelli... And Saric,
he was 66%.
They all the three of them combined for 73 points.
Oh my God.
That's the type of night it was for Philadelphia. And those are all great shooters. Bellinelli was signed in the middle of the season because he's a freaking great shooter. I think that's kind of hilarious because 3 years ago, if you ask people where do free agents want to sign to make their team better, no one would have even thought Philadelphia would be. Not even anywhere close to the top of
that. I think next year they'll even be better.
No, yeah, definitely.
But with Redick, Bellinelli, and Ben Simmons, they contribute to a lot of the points, especially those dishes by Ben Simmons, which were mostly threes. They were turned into threes by Redick and Bellinelli.
Philadelphia plays this really fast-paced offense, and the Heat all season have struggled with offenses like that. You look at all of our games against the Lakers, who were one of the top in the league in terms of pace this season. We struggle against the Lakers. We obviously struggle against the Warriors. We had a few close games against the Rockets, but we struggle against the Rockets. So these fast-paced teams that shoot a lot of threes... It's kind of like our kryptonite.
Yeah.
And that's why I was really upset that we matched up with Philadelphia for round one. Because I would have been fine facing Boston. I would have been fine facing Toronto. I would have been fine facing Cleveland. And we've ended up with fucking Philadelphia. And there's a chance Philadelphia could sweep us. And we go down as a freaking laughingstock for this young team that no one expected coming. And are now in the...
But if they do move on, I do see them beating the Cavs. You know,
they could be anybody right now.
Dude, they're doing good. They're doing good.
They're fucking amazing right now.
Winslow had 5 assists and was the most out of the Heat.
That what?
5 assists.
Are you serious? Yeah.
We just didn't play well.
And we had the lead in the first a few times in
we
the first
We were doing well in the
it was,
first
it was
half.
It was a good we first well. Half. Yeah, we played a really good first half of basketball aside Second from a few just... a few like glaring omissions like Whiteside. Second half was where it all fell apart, and that's been also another trend of our team throughout the season, the third quarter, or as we in the Heat community like to call the third quarter.
The third quarter.
Because it's where, for some reason, it's like we just lose...
Turn off the Jets.
Yeah, it's like we lose what it is that makes us play Heat basketball. And I don't know. It's been a problem all season. If anyone knows what the Warriors do for their team after halftime and they come out in the third quarter, like, guns blazing, if anyone knows what their secret formula is, please...
Let us know.
Yeah, please let us know. Just send it at us. We don't have an at yet, but maybe AOL online
please
or
help
something.
The Heat
yeah.
At gmail.
Right. How about you email Pat Riley's organization?
Spoelstra.
DM the Miami Heat Instagram.
You know, actually, I've always wanted to say this, but I know Spoelstra.
No, you don't.
Well, I know someone that knew of him before he was a coach.
Oh, when he was like a video coordinator?
No. He was working in the restaurant at the arena. You know, the arena that the Heat play at.
What the fuck?
He was a manager, and my sister-in-law worked with him, and he was actually her boss. And she says he's a pretty uptight dude. Great coach. Great coach.
Well, I think you have to be.
No, definitely. But anyway, Olynyk finishing with 26 points, 7 rebounds. He definitely, he showed up, and I'm glad he did.
Oh, my God. He
was literally the only one.
He has been a great signing for us this year. He has career highs in points, minutes, rebounds, assists, three-point percentage, field goal percentage. He has, obviously, the increase in minutes and the increase in... his responsibility has been a big factor of that, but that aside, I just feel like he's a much improved player. He's really helped our team out. And when we signed him, I was one of those Olynyk haters.
Wow.
I was like, dude, we got this guy from Boston.
I remember.
He literally looks like a hairy nutsack.
A hairy nutsack.
Oh, like, and then you have the bad stigma of dislocating Kevin Love's shoulders in the 2015 playoffs.
Oh my God.
So, yeah. You know, I was kind of unhappy with that signing, but then I had just, that was just, you know, fresh off the heels of his game 6 against Washington last year when he was still on the Boston Celtics, and he just fucking went off. He lit it up from 3. He finished with something like 26 points off the bench. And he was a big reason of why they were able to win that series against Washington. I was like, maybe this guy can you know, light it up every now and then. And he's been, like, consistently one of our prominent players. There are times when he does disappear, where he'll go, like, 0-of-5 from 3 or something stupid like that. And then he gets a lot of personal fouls. He leads the league in fouls per minute, something like that. Where he often has like 4 fouls in the second quarter. Like, dude, what are you doing? He's just very big and oafish, but he's one of the shining parts of our offense, which is oftentimes lacking.
Definitely. We do not have any of those, you know, offensive players that we can literally...
Offensive? Who are they offending?
They're
offending the other team. You offend me with your poor style of play.
But we don't have any of those Paul George, Kevin Durant.
Those people who could just take over.
Exactly, and that's why we're very...
That's one of our
weakest points.
Yeah,
that we don't have that go-to.
Yeah, that's why we play the style of play we do. That team-orientated, grind and gritty. We're like the Memphis Grizzlies of the East, where it's just grit and grind, where we get down and dirty, and
we
win basketball games off team play and great coaching. because we don't have that superstar talent. We got Waiters Island, but Waiters Island has been gone all season. We got Dragic, yeah, who's old. We got Wade, who's old.
He didn't
and
show him too
that's
much.
It. We got Richardson, who's going to hopefully one day become a 20-point-per-game scorer along with his, like, elite defense.
We have Ellington.
Yeah, but Ellington.
3-point contestant.
Yeah. I wanted him to win. But he's not good at just, like, spotting up with the ball. What he does is, like, come off the screen and curl around in midair while leaning, like, 4 feet to his right, and those are the ones he sinks.
But I wanted him, you know, he's also a guy that I look at every game, and he finished with 6 points.
Yeah. He has those games where he goes cold.
Yeah. He's not very consistent. Same thing with Whiteside.
Yeah. Whiteside was a huge disappointment. He finished with, what was it, 3 points?
2 points, I think.
2 points?
Yeah. 2 points?
Whiteside, 2 points.
And 6 rebounds.
6 rebounds and, what, like?
2 blocks. Most blocks.
Okay. Well.
But I definitely think it's an attitude issue. He is just...
We're paying him max money. What does he have an attitude about?
His head is in the game.
It really isn't.
His heart is in the song. But he definitely needs to... I don't know if Spo and him have some type of issue.
They might have beef. They might have beef.
I don't think... I probably don't blame Spo because... He doesn't have that attitude. He doesn't have that winning drive.
Attitude aside, you're a traditional center who can't shoot a three, although he's 100% from three this year. He shot 2 threes and he drained them both. It was lit.
Oh, my God.
But you don't shoot threes. You don't come out to defend the three-point line, which was a big issue in this game. They were just Ilyasova. At halftime, they come out of halftime with Ersan Ilyasova at the center position, and Whiteside did not want to close that distance. Ersan just shooting threes all night, and
it worked.
This guy exposed him. And I guess your car's off.
Oh yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Okay, or I guess just leave the battery on because I need this light. I can't read. That's my keys.
Oh. But yeah, he definitely didn't show up, and he was playing lazy defense, and that's why he only got 11 minutes. He should have gotten less. But that was a huge reason why they were getting a lot of in paint points. Yeah. He was just not there. He just wasn't there, and also he tries to show up when Embiid.
Exactly.
There, that beef is very real.
Unless Embiid returns in this series, I do not want Whiteside on the floor. I love Whiteside. I'm a huge fan. I have his jersey. I have him on Snapchat. The guy's Snapchat used to be on point, but it's kind of lost its magic. But that's not the point.
That's not the point. This man needs to play good basketball.
Yeah, and he's just not right now. I get the knee injury has been a nagging issue all year, but... Oh my God. The knee injury is an excuse for all of his problems. So, I wouldn't be surprised if we started Olynyk in game two, which is about to come underway.
Tip off, yeah.
But we'll watch the rest of the game. It's all right.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. I think if we lose this game, we might lose in 7 or 6.
Yeah. The homer in me still says we could bounce back from this. I think our players are going to have a lot more focus this game. I'm sure they reviewed the tape. I'm sure they know where the holes in their defense are and what they need to do to adjust to that. And that's a big reason why I'm hypothesizing that Olynyk starts tonight.
Yeah.
I
hope Winslow starts too, honestly.
Winslow's good, yeah. But
anything else to say about... We want to talk about Wade?
What was Wade's night like?
Wade was 19 minutes, 11 points, I think.
Yeah.
19 minutes, 11 points.
That's about his averages for the season.
4 rebounds, 4 assists.
Yeah. Robert Covington on the Sixers. He's a great player. He's very underrated on defense.
He had 27 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. He could be all defense this year.
Yes.
And he shut Dragic down. And there was this one section of the game where Roko was defending the Dragon for, I think, like four possessions. And in those four possessions, Dragic was 0-4 with two turnovers. Wow. Or with one turnover and one of those being a block. And it was all because of Covington. And I, like, low-key, they have, Philadelphia has the tools, the stars lined up perfectly for them, and they could possibly make the finals, because the homer in me says we could bounce back and win this in a series in seven, but the realist in me knows they're probably going to win in five or six games. Philadelphia is going to win in five or six.
And although we did have them 2-for-2.
Yeah, in the season series. Yeah, but regular series means jack shit when it comes down to playoff time.
Definitely.
And so they eliminate us round one. We go to round two. They face the winner of Milwaukee-Boston. They could definitely beat Milwaukee.
They could definitely beat Boston.
Yeah. So we go to the finals, which was theoretically either Toronto or Cleveland, one of those teams, against Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And
Toronto would be difficult, for sure.
Toronto would be their greatest challenge, and I think they could beat Cleveland. So this is a team who last year won 27 games, who this year people had projected winning 35 games.
Trust the process,
dog. They went 52 wins this season, and they could potentially make the Eastern Conference Finals or the actual NBA Finals.
And they're still on a 17 win streak.
Technically,
they are the Heat right now.
Exactly. So, and they would face the Rockets, the Warriors, or some other underdog team, and that would be insane. That would be, like, absolutely insane to see. I love this Philadelphia team. I'm against them right now, obviously, because they're against my hometown. But they're a great team. Mm-hmm. Embiid just talks a lot of shit. I don't like his, like, social media presence, but his on-the-court production is, like, unprecedented.
He's actually a pretty big face in the NBA because of all his hypeness. And
yeah, of course. Yeah. And for a good reason.
Yeah.
Definitely. The whole thing is he gave him a reason to be hyped, and it was true.
They also have the Rookie of the Year,
exactly.
You know, and
Ben Simmons,
he's a great. So
he's not a true rookie. That whole argument is ridiculous. That whole what is a true rookie?
What's a true rookie to you?
Ben Simmons is a rookie. He hasn't played a single NBA minute. It's not his fault that he was injured and had the advantage of being around an NBA team and, like, seeing what it's like and living the life and having the workouts. That's not his fault. He didn't play a single NBA minute. He is a rookie. That's it. And any other year, Donovan Mitchell would have won. If Ben Simmons never broke his foot in fucking preseason and he played all of last year, even at a, like, worse offensive production than he's doing now, which is also historic, Donovan Mitchell would be Rookie of the Year, but he's not because Ben Simmons is a thing. So So I say Philadelphia in six. Homer in me says Miami in seven.
I say Philadelphia in seven or Heat in seven. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And
I still think we can take three. Yeah. At home, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Cleveland, Indiana.
All right.
I didn't really watch this game. I kind of fell asleep, to be honest.
I watched this game at work, actually.
Yeah.
And I just saw what I've been seeing from Cleveland all season long.
Poor defense. No one hitting shots.
Honestly, every time LeBron touches the ball, they just look at him. It's just...
It does feel like that sometimes.
Sometimes it's just like, come on.
Let me get the piece.
Move on.
Where did you put it? Oh, I literally have it.
Wow.
I'm a dumbass. Oh,
high ass
motherfucker.
But definitely they just look lost on the floor. Mm. Indiana did take it from them. Game one, snapping LeBron's, you know, sweep streak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
cool. Which was a cool streak to, you know, break. Oladipo. Home Depot.
Home Depot.
Oh, man.
At the Depot.
32 points, man.
At the Depot, Oladipo.
32 points.
He had a great game.
Miles Turner did great, fast, dude.
He's so fast. And I'm glad Miles Turner did well, too, because last year he wasn't really showing up.
Yeah. He got 8 rebounds that game. 16 points. And then 57%, you know, he was shooting well, man. He was definitely shooting well.
I hope that error isn't too much of a...
And
too much on, like...
Kevin Love just keeps on keeping on. He didn't show up. He made 9 points the whole game.
Kevin Love had 9 points?
9 points. I think he made an and-1 three and then missed the free throw.
Sad.
Yeah, well, I think it was like 73. Yeah, I remember this play actually. It was 73 to 80. Kevin Love just made a 3-and-1. They were hyped up to get the lead. Kevin Love misses the free throw. They run down the court, make a 3. That's it. That was literally the.
What was that?
Hang on later. That literally ended the game, I feel like. That's it. They're still down by 10.
Yeah, they were coming back at some point.
Yeah. But definitely didn't show up. Kevin Love didn't show up. What else about
this right? That was the line.
Oh, the Lance Stevenson LeBron.
Oh my god. When Lance had that and one dunk and then he like headbutted the...
That was a little too much.
The foam thing of the rim. What is that even called?
The base of the
base of the hoop.
Yeah, the base of the hoop. Headbutts it.
If I was a fan there, I would be surprised.
I would have been so lit.
I would have been like, yeah!
A little bit hyped, but a little bit surprised.
I actually saw this video of... It's actually a kind of morbid topic, but... It was this video of this guy in some like Greece national team a few years back, and he thought he was fouled on a shot, and he's like super frustrated, and he headbutted the foam thing, and he like instantly paralyzed himself.
What?
Yeah, he never walked again. Like he did it, and he just fell to the floor, and like all his players were like, "What the?" And he did something like to his skull or his brain, and he never walked again, dude.
That is actually pretty insane.
Yeah, the human body is kind of like so fragile, but like also so resilient.
Yeah,
because like any little thing could go wrong. There's so many things that could go wrong.
Mess up your life.
Yeah, and these athletes are freaking flinging their bodies at each other, at like such high speeds and. Like, you step on, like, one person's foot, and that's it. They're out for the season.
Exactly.
Like Donovan Mitchell.
He just got
a foot contusion.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And I saw the play. Corey Brewer stepped on his foot, like, on it. He didn't, like, yeah, it wasn't an ankle sprain where you step on something.
But
else.
He was pulling away, so it was kind of like a weird stretch. But he still played. He played through it, but
what, is he going to be out for the season? Like, GG, Jazz?
No. Definitely, I know he would fight for that.
But we're still in Cleveland.
Okay.
That was my bad. I kind of off track.
We're talking about injuries.
Yeah.
In a sense.
I guess, yeah. No defense from Cleveland.
No
poor
defense.
Offense. They went 8 of 34 from 3, which is something like 21% or 27%. Yeah. Some low number. Maybe even lower. I'm bad at math.
I can't add.
they didn't pick up anyone in transition. Oladipo is one of the fastest players in the league, and there are times where he like steps back above the 3-point line, and he's like just getting room, and you know he's gonna charge at you, and he did this in the game. He like winds up to barrel downhill, and then he just stops on a dime and pulls up from three.
like he's going like 10 miles per hour and then zero, like all his velocity
he's doing
stops
some
on the
Westbrook
dime.
Type of
yeah
type of wizardry.
I mean, you know, Westbrook taught him how to be like this
this type of player. Like,
it's unfortunate that he had to leave Westbrook's side to become this player, because I think that,
but
like,
a lot of
people
do that. Look at James Harden.
That's different. That was years ago.
I mean, he was a sixth man of the year,
yeah,
type of thing. But
he's gonna be the first sixth man of the year to win MVP.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that's kind of cool. But I was always high on Oladipo, because even when he was in the Orlando Magic, dude, and because I had seen like him and Wade had a friendship. And I had heard through some people that, like, Wade was, like, low-key a mentor of his. I don't know how true that is or not. But, like, I remember even one time Oladipo was courtside at a Heat game. And they were, like, talking. And they were talking like they knew each other well. So I was like, dude, he's going to be a free agent. He's going to be on the Heat next year. That's what's up. And then he got signed with OKC. I was like, fuck. But yeah, no, I never thought he could be this type of player though. Like, I always liked him, but yeah. the leap he's made.
He was
this
one
year.
Of the trades with Paul George.
Yeah, that was why everyone was like, "Oh, the Pacers got fleeced." But look at them now.
Yeah,
they actually had a better season than they did with Paul George last year.
And what do you think? Sorry for straying away from that, but how do you think LeBron feels about this? About his streak being snapped, about Cleveland playing so bad.
He doesn't care that much. They didn't have a
They didn't have a horrendous, but
yeah,
they just...
because everything was similar aside from the threes. They had the same percentage from the free throw line. They had the same amount of rebounds. They had the same amount of personal fouls. There was no discrepancy in anything else except three-point percentage. And a lot of that is attributed to the Cavs defense, but a lot of that is also, like... just the Pacers just lighting it up. They're a subpar 3-point shooting team, and they went like 40-something%.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen every game, and the Cavs aren't going to shoot 8 of 34 every game. So this is just not characteristic of LeBron. He was typically this season been a very good 3-point shooter and very efficient player, and it's just Jeff Green needs to step it up. He went like scoreless in 26 minutes.
Yep.
And he was supposed to be like this swing man who could like dunk the ball and defend, and he's not doing anything very well right now. So I don't think LeBron cares too much. But
George Hill.
George Hill, I don't know, but I heard he went out with injury.
Oh.
I hope he's okay though.
Yeah, I like George Hill.
Hopefully they start playing more Seti Osman and Larry Nance Jr. I'm a big Larry Nance fan.
Yeah.
Shout out to Larry Nance. He should have won the dunk contest. It's all rigged.
Yeah. Honestly, he really
should have. I think he should have won over Mitchell. And it's cool to have a big man win the contest. That dunk he did that
he's
like mirrored his dad's dunk.
Yeah.
That was so fucking crisp.
I actually cried.
And Nance and Seti both provide a good amount of energy on both ends of the floor, even though Nance isn't that great a defensive player and Seti isn't that great an offensive player. But they're both young and they're athletic, and I think they have the drive to maybe help LeBron out a little more.
Yeah.
And
but this was a tough loss because it was at home.
That's true.
A tough loss. You know, that's not good, you know,
but
losing at home.
But
I still think
the Cavs are going to bounce back.
Cavs are going to take it in six. That's what I say.
I have Cavs in five, actually.
Cavs in five?
Yeah.
So you think they're just going to not lose?
I don't think they're going to lose again. Yeah. I think
they learned their lesson.
Yeah. This was the wake-up call they needed.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that was the Eastern Conference playoff series.
Wow.
I don't predict my West to be as lengthy because I either didn't watch the games or... I just don't care that much. I'm obviously more concerned with the Eastern Conference, being my team is in the Eastern Conference, and I feel like two of the Western Conference series are already over. That being Golden State and San Antonio, and the other one being Houston-Minnesota. The 1-8 matchup, Houston-Minnesota, Houston's going to sweep. Harden had 44-18.
Yeah.
44-8.
And they just completely dismantled the Minnesota defense in
Capella
the first.
Did really well.
Yeah, well. Exactly. Capella points. And Harden's game is so nice to watch.
Yeah,
and Capella is due for a big payday because he has upped his game. Cat needs more than 9 shots. Karl Anthony Towns. He didn't have a good game. And he barely touched the ball at all in the fourth. And I do not like that.
Yeah. Agreed. He did have 12 rebounds, though.
He had 12 rebounds.
Andrew Wiggins did well.
Did he really?
He did. He had a lot of minutes, though. He had 32 minutes, 18 points. He was 7 for 15. You know, what surprised me out of that whole game was Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler surprised me in a negative way.
Yeah, Butler didn't really show up, and he's kind of excused considering he's coming back from injury. He literally tore his meniscus on February something.
Damn,
he came back a month and a half later. Like, the guy is not completely healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
He had to be helped off the court. So it's kind of amazing his recovery time, but obviously I think he kind of rushed back and he wasn't very effective.
He was 13 points in 36 minutes.
Yeah.
4 for 11.
Yeah. That air ball at the end, though, that was such a bad play. First of all, the Chris Paul, like, just lobbing it out of bounds in the last, like, 9 seconds of the game when they were up 3, like, I guess he needed to hold on to the ball so Minnesota would foul him, but I guess he just wanted to eat more time, and he threw the ball like 30 feet and overshot the person he was throwing it to, and he threw it out of bounds. Chris Paul had a really bad game. I think he finished with more turnovers than assists.
Wow.
Yeah. He had a very poor game.
He only had 4 assists.
4 assists and like 6 turnovers, I think.
Yeah. James Harden had 8.
Yeah, but Harden always turns over the ball. Fuck them. But, So Minnesota actually has a chance to tie this game. They're down 3 with like 9 seconds left or something, and they inbound. Butler comes up with it, and I think he was anticipating the foul because the Rockets coach, Mike D'Antoni, he was calling for the foul and no one went in for the foul. So I think he kind of got like psyched out or something.
Yeah. And he thought he was going to get the 3-point.
Yeah, you know, and then he pulls up from 3, which his toe was on the line. It would have been a 2 anyways. And then he just airballs it. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just... You think it's going to be a sweep?
It's like,
they just played bad.
I mean, like, yeah.
Minnesota
like
played bad.
Rockets were completely picking them apart in the beginning, and then all of a sudden the Timberwolves came back.
Yeah.
But they just Harden completely took over in at the end of the game. There was this one sequence where Harden and Teague were trading buckets because Teague was having a little back and forth with I think like Taj Gibson or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not Taj Gibson, PJ Tucker, And it was just, Harden 3, Teague, weird contested layup. Another Harden layup. And then a Harden lob to Capella. And then a Teague, like step back. It was weird, dude, or floater. But it's just, I would rather, you know, bet my money on James Harden than Jeff Teague to win you the game. And, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is still young, but... This is good experience for him because he's gonna see what it is like after that 14-year playoff drought where the Timberwolves haven't made it since 2004. They're finally in the playoffs, and now he gets to see firsthand this is what it's like when you're just not good enough. And that's not their fault or anything. I think a lot of it is actually their coach's fault. I think it's Tom Thibodeau's fault.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of his, and he was supposed to be this like defensive mastermind, and their defense sucks. And he has weird rotations, and he overplays his players to the point of literally breaking them down.
Yeah. He had 40 minutes, Karl Anthony.
Exactly.
And he had the best game.
Yeah. I don't know.
Houston in 4.
Houston in 4.
Houston in 4.
Golden State, San Antonio, Golden State in four.
Golden State did win comfortably
for the first game.
Yeah,
it was pretty much always a multiple like 15 to 20 point game. It's a loss, boys. Just pack it in. Kawhi's not coming back. They confirmed today he's not coming back for the rest of the postseason. I mean, you would have had to be a really strong believer to think he was still coming back after all this time. Yeah. But it has been confirmed he's not coming back. Who knows if he's going to come back to San Antonio. I hope he doesn't, but he probably will. I hope he comes to the Heat, but who don't I wish comes to the Heat? There's this really sick, I think I showed you the picture, right? That sick edit where Kawhi is in a Heat Vice jersey, but the jersey's black instead of the white. And it's, haven't I shown you that picture? Holy shit, dude. You're gonna blow your fucking mind.
But we do see Golden State without Steph.
Yeah, and that helps. That certainly helps the Spurs, but it's not enough.
No,
it would have to be Curry, Durant, and Thompson out for them to even stand a chance. This is it.
Oh my god, stop.
That's freaking sick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, awesome. I would love that jersey, and I would love that player in that jersey.
No, it would be amazing.
That would be amazing. But
he would be our, offensive
player. He would be such a big offense to everyone in the league.
He would offend a lot of people.
Yeah.
But
yeah, even the injured Warriors are too much for the Spurs to handle. How weird is Kawhi's situation anyways? Like...
Yeah, it's
just that he's not even that he's with the team. Like, what? Playing because you're not ready, but you're your team's probably going to get swept. If he's not at any of those home games, he's out. He gone. If Kawhi is not sitting in the crowd or courtside during the San Antonio game 3 and 4, he's been asked many times.
No way.
Yeah. And if he's not in that crowd, that's it. He's not coming back. I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I like him in the Spurs.
He's a very Spurs player.
Yeah.
And he was grown up. Well, not grown up. He was molded by the Spurs.
I want to see him like play with Rudy Gay again and Paul Gasol. You know.
I was born in darkness.
Shut up.
Molded by it.
Moving on. No, let's talk about Kevin Durant. And
he had a great game.
Yeah, he had a fantastic game. But no, that'll be going too forward. But I was just gonna talk about how they were gonna match up with Houston.
Yeah, that's Houston forward. Yeah. Interesting lineup change by Steve Kerr, putting in Iguodala at point and JaVale McGee at center, because
McGee did great.
McGee had a really
fucking
McGee,
but he did great.
Yeah, he was literally wearing the golden grill for game one.
Oh my god,
what a hype beast!
SMH. But he did good.
He kind of like low key shut Aldridge down, but Aldridge hasn't shown up enough to be shut down. So
I like Aldridge.
Yeah, he had a career year this year, but last year he didn't show up against the Warriors, and wow, surprise, this year they're against the Warriors.
Yeah.
But Iggy was a nice defensive lineup change, because the Warriors have been very lulling on defense. They've just been like, partly because they know they were locked into that two seed, and partly because they know they're better than everyone else. So... But the Iggy change was cool. I like Iggy. He's cool. He has really huge shoulders. For a guy his size, his shoulders are very prominent.
His shoulders are up to his ears.
But the Warriors flipped the switch, and it will be Golden State in four.
Yeah. Golden State in four.
All right. Next matchup was...
Okay.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay. No, actually it's Portland, Oregon. There are three, right? There are three.
Yeah. No.
3-6. Okay. 3-6 and OKC's 4-5.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, so Portland, New Orleans, the porno matchup.
The porno matchup.
Yeah, I really like it when Anthony Davis puts his ball in the hole and all the guys, sweaty guys, banging up on each other. really get that a feel for how hard their muscles sweat. Are. Stop. Yeah, that unibrow sweat. Dame had an awful game. Lillard did not show up this game. And Dame Dalla.
Dame time.
Dame Dalla needs to put his... I don't know. His dollar where his mouth is.
But man, it's hard. It's just hard with Anthony Davis.
Yep, Davis that had 35 and 14.
He showed up.
He showed up. He showed Rondo up. Had 17 assists. Many of those being like absurd lobs that only Giannis and Anthony Davis would be even
they can reach.
Capable of reaching.
Exactly.
Drew Holiday had a really good game.
I like Holiday.
I like him a lot. He's very underrated on defense also. Also all defensive level talent. I saw this stat that guards when Drew Holiday in that game, guards being McCollum and Lillard, when they were being defended by Drew Holiday went 2 of 11. And one of those being like this beautifully timed block against the backboard near the end of the game to kind of like stuff Portland's chance of winning.
I'm a huge fan of his.
Of honestly. Holiday?
Yeah. He's quick. He hustles.
Yeah. He does.
He puts in work and he's been in the league for a bit, you know.
And a lot of people were like, oh, it's the Pelicans. Watch out. It's Cousins, Davis, and Drew Holiday. That's their big three.
But low key, yeah, he's really good. He's kind of an interesting player to watch. And
you have Rondo dishing out,
and then you have Rondo coming in. Playoff yeah. Rondo is a real thing, my people.
My people
understand this. Playoff Rondo is a threat to be reckoned with.
He almost took down the one seeded Celtics on the trash Bulls last year. They went up 2-0.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then he got injured. He had a hand splinter or something in his forearm. And I literally think that's the only reason Boston won. Boston went on to sweep the series. But they went up 2-0 on the first-seeded Celtics.
He's good. Rondo's been around.
Franklin the Turtle.
He's good.
My guy.
Franklin.
Lillard went 6 of 24. He won't do that very often. I suspect next game.
This game, yeah, they're going to... Ultimately, I want to see New Orleans take it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I want them to take it. I want them to take it in either 6 or 7.
Yeah, this was... It was a really good game, and Portland had a chance to bring it back in the end, but...
in the end...
it doesn't even matter. Like, it really doesn't.
Yeah, still lost.
This was the first New Orleans win since 2000. I don't even know when they were still known as the New Orleans Hornets with CP3. So that's cool. Very happy for them. I miss Boogie. We were robbed of playoff Boogie. This would have been his first appearance in the playoffs, and it would have been.
Do you think it would have changed a lot of the outcome?
Yeah, dude.
Definitely would.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, Anthony Davis kind of like started turning on the Jets and making a MVP candidate like level performance after Boogie went down. That's when he always posts up crazy numbers, but the fact that he was posting up those crazy numbers and they were actually resulting in wins, mm-hmm. that was very cool to see. So I'm a Pelicans fan, but unfortunately I'm also a Portland fan, and I think Portland has more tools to win this series. And even though Anthony Davis is the best player on the court, I have Portland taking it in 7.
I will bet you on that.
Yeah,
yeah.
You got New Orleans in what?
I got New Orleans in 7.
In 7? Yeah. All right, we'll see. Because Dame Dalla has been MVP level talent this year also. I mean, like, if you're choosing, like, if you're looking 4 or 5 down the ballot, then that's where Dame Dalla is. But still, he's a great player. He has the chance to be first team all defense, first team all whatever this year. Yeah,
I miss Boogie.
And McCollum's a great player. Nurkic is a fantastic center, who's kind of like Steven Adams-esque. Who can shoot a little better.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And I think they have the 3-point shooting outside of their of their main guys, like Mbamute, and no, he's on the Rockets. I forgot he got traded.
Esta de madre.
No, was this Aminu, not Mbamute. Al-Farouq Aminu. He's who I'm thinking. He can light it up, and it's not very far before you're looking at the Pelicans roster and you don't know who these players are. So they're a very top heavy team. They're talented, but they're not gonna go the length. They're not gonna go the distance.
Okay.
I will find my way. I can go the distance. I'll be there someday.
I don't know.
Alright, and last but not least.
Blast. Bah.
Bah.
Don't do it to
me. I'm not gonna do it. OKC versus Utah.
Bye, leg.
Shut the fuck up.
This is an interesting one,
this
too.
This was a really good series. I saw all this game. This game was really nice. Good. Utah started off extremely hot. Donovan Mitchell started 4-4. Two of those were from three, I think, or one of them at least. And they got off to something like a 16-3 start, some ridiculous number like that. And then before you knew it was like a 25-8 lead, 26-8, some.
Yeah,
crazy.
It was some ridiculous.
And
thing
then
like
Westbrook was like, "All right, enough of this. All right,
it's like I'm gonna start trying now."
They started playing basketball.
I'm a huge Ricky Rubio fan too.
Like, I'm not too high on Ricky Rubio.
I love that.
He's cool. He's handsome. He's handsome. Probably has a nice little plump butt. But
that's what he focuses on, by the way, just so you know.
All right,
just the plump butts.
I might edit it that out, but I might not. All right. Yeah, I'm not too high on Rubio, and
I love his
if it's Rubio Westbrook matchup,
Westbrook is
gonna destroy him. Like, he has no chance. And even though Westbrook doesn't try on defense that much, he has the tools to be a great defender. And when the game's on the line, as we saw in that one regular season game where he defended Harden to a T. So,
yeah, I remember that.
But PG with a huge game, 36 points. I think he went 8 of 11 from 3.
And was 13 for 20.
13 for 20.
Yeah, he was 8 of 11.
8 of 11 for 3. He broke someone's ankles. I forgot who, you poor soul. RIP.
36 points, dude.
Playoff P is real.
Yeah.
He's a bona fide superstar.
Westbrook and 10 for 25.
Westbrook 10 of... Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. 40%. Which is okay.
I feel like Westbrook is always putting like an insane number of shots
up. Yeah, no, he definitely does. Yeah. But this was the one game where I kind of felt like it was more Paul George's team than Westbrook's team. Because... Yeah. Westbrook was doing his usual Westbrook things. He put up 29, 13, and 8. But a lot of those rebounds are meaningless. And he had a lot of great points. Like, he had, like, these crazy turnaround mid-range jumpers that just, like,
yeah,
dripped in and made this amazing sound. But I don't know. It just felt like they were more concerned with Paul George and the way he was draining the three.
I think it was the opposite. I think they were more concerned about Westbrook.
Yeah.
And then Paul George showed up. So I think if Utah wants to take this next one, they really need to work on who they want to focus. Not even who they want to focus on, just better matchups.
Yeah. You
know, definitely.
True.
They really got to guard that arc with Paul George. Like, you cannot let him drain 8, you know? That's
yeah, and there's gonna be a game or two where he just completely misses everything because he has those games. That's like the trade-off you get with Paul George, and hopefully he could break that stigma this season, and you know, hopefully we can see OKC go into the second round, because that'd be really cool, because they were a first round blowout last year.
Yeah.
And I want to see Westbrook do well, and I want to see Paul George do well.
I want to see him move up, like, finally.
Yeah, exactly. So this would be and they definitely have a chance against this Utah team, who's led by Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell put up 27 points in his playoff debut. He showed the fuck up. He got semi-injured with the foot-stepping thing, and they brought him out as a precaution, and he was like, nah, fam.
Put me back in, Mickey. Put me back in. I can't sit on my
I think, did he sub himself in?
He low-key subbed himself in.
Like, he just walked into the court, and he clapped them up. He's like, all right, I'm guarding.
But, injury watch for Mitchell.
Yeah.
Injury watch for PG also. He was like on some weird roller thing. Injury watch for Steven Adams, who hurt his hand because he dunked so hard he hurt his arm. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
It was like 4 minutes left in the game. And he had this really nice like alley-oop from Westbrook. And he just cocked that thing back and jammed it on him. Just yammed it on him. And he did it so hard with his right hand that like he came down.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I just dropped weed water all over myself. Oh, that stinks.
This is low standards, everyone.
This is low standards. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Not again. All right. I'll keep talking. Do you have tissues? You don't have, like, napkins?
I don't.
I think I have a tissue on my back. Can you hold this or just put it here?
Technical difficulties.
But the show must go on. What was I saying?
And he, like, throughout the rest of the plays, while he was still on the floor, he was like not lifting his arm. He was running like this, and he was defending like this.
No way.
It was really weird. Like he was able to lift his arm a few times because he caught a few passes, but it was very clear he was trying to avoid movement in the arm. So injury watch for Adams. Hopefully he's not injured. They had serious issues rebounding the ball in the beginning of the game against Utah, but I think they kind of corrected that as the game went on. Gobert is going to be in a lot of foul trouble, I predict, throughout the series. Yeah, he had, I think, 4 fouls in the third quarter, and a lot of that is attributed to Westbrook's attack on him, because what Westbrook is going to be one of the key points for the Thunder to win this series is if Westbrook can attack Gobert and either draw the foul or look for the lob pass. Because once they get the switch they want, Westbrook is either going to explode to the rim, draw the and one, or he's just going to get fouled, miss the shot, shoot the free throws. And Westbrook was sinking all his free throws last night. And if that doesn't happen, and he draws Gobert out instead of his usual defender, means Steven Adams is open.
Yeah.
And then you dish it to Steven Adams for a disgusting lob. That injures your hand because you're that fucking strong.
But that's definitely the whole, you know, having center on a guard.
Yeah.
Too big, too fast.
Mm-hmm.
It just drawing the foul too easily. But who do you take?
I have OKC in 5.
OKC in 5?
Yeah, I think Utah will somewhere take a game. They're definitely not taking any games if Donovan Mitchell is actually injured if his play is seriously affected because of whatever happened. But if Donovan Mitchell keeps showing up like he does, I think they could take one at their own house, and Joe Ingles is going to light it up from 3, and they're going to get jingle-belled because this guy is one of my favorite players to watch. He's this Australian, like, dad-looking guy who looks like he does not belong in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
And he just like, drains a 3 in your face. And he's just Aussie, and nobody fucks with him because he's fucking crazy. I don't know if he's crazy, but he definitely has crazy eyes, I think. And he has a crazy guy smile, but
I kinda like it.
Yeah.
But I take OKC in 6.
In 6? I think Utah will take two. I really hope Mitchell isn't injured. That would impact completely, you know, just call game right there.
Yeah.
Blouses. But, yeah, I would want to see Utah, you know, win two, take two from OKC.
I don't think it's going to happen.
But I definitely see a different OKC team.
True.
You know, Paul George did, like, this is playoff Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
Melo didn't do too well.
No, he didn't.
He didn't, but he had 15 points. He was 5 for 13. That's rough.
He started really well, and then he kind of he had a really hot start, but then he kind of tapered off near the middle and end of the games. But yeah, Melo needs to step it up a little bit.
Yeah,
this is the first season he's not averaging 20 a game in how many years.
Wow.
I think maybe ever, because I think even as a rookie he was doing above 20, but I'm not positive.
Well,
he's scoring 16 a game.
16. But yeah, anything else?
I think that might be it.
Right. I was thinking about something else. I mean, we went over the one and Steven Adams. Yeah. Oh, you know what I didn't mention with the Cavs?
What?
Tristan Thompson.
Like, hey. He played 3 minutes.
Yeah, but why? You know,
because he's trash. He got fucking paid and now he's trash. He had a game where he put up 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, and I think like 2 turnovers or something really dumb like that.
Wow.
Or like 0-0 and like 2 rebounds. Like what are you doing? What happened to you? It can't just be the Kardashians. Like, they're not like vampires who just like drain your like life force or something. They're, at the end of the day, they're just people, but holy shit, dude. I don't think I've ever seen anyone fall off so hard besides like Roy Hibbert.
Roy Hibbert, you're gonna
try. That's a name you don't think of very often these days.
No, yeah, Roy Hibbert, I literally don't even think of him that much. But he was
really good at one point.
Even the Pacers.
He was really good for the Pacers at one point, and then he just fucking fell off.
Yep.
So that's weird. Tristan Thompson, you need to step your shit up, dude. He's beyond stepping up, I think. I think he's just he's gonna be paid $80-something million to be a 0 point per game scorer.
Two rebounds
though.
Alright.
Yeah. I'll just put that in the part where we're talking about Cleveland. Just do some editing.
Do you have any, like, does it bring its own editing? Like, you just connect it and it has its own software?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Because I can get it to work on it as well.
What are you saying?
We can, like, work on it together.
We'll do it now at the fucking lounge.
Okay. Well,
I think this is it. We went a lot further than I thought. We would miss only maybe one quarter, but it looks like we might miss the whole first half of this Miami game.
Do you want to check it out? What the score is?
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh. 29-22.
And how much left time?
11.
And it's just the second quarter just started. Okay, so we can still watch the second quarter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. This was fun.
Yeah, this was an interesting project, but we do plan on posting once a week for the rest of the playoffs, and we're looking forward to the 2019 basketball season as well.
Mm-hmm.
But these playoffs are going to be a good one.
Yeah, I'm very excited for these playoffs. I'm so happy. It was like Christmas. I got to lie in bed all day and watch 4 games back to back to back to back. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
But to our 2 listeners, maybe if we're lucky.
Yeah, if we're lucky.
And however long you made it through, we appreciate your time.
as we said earlier, we're just two guys who enjoy basketball, so we just want to talk about it with whoever will listen. So thanks again. It was, I keep saying it was, but it
We're looking forward to just developing this and making it. This is all just for fun, you know.
Yeah.
We just want to.
Don't get your panties in a twist because of opinions.
Exactly.
I said Washington is trash. I said Boston's trash. But
I said Olynyk looked like
a hairy ball sack. But you know, whatever. It's all in good fun.
It's just basketball.
It's just a game.
A game.
Why you have to be mad?
It's just a game.
All right. Well, once again, thank you for listening. This is Andrzej signing off.
Mike.
And this was High Standards.
High Standards.
Bye. Thank you.